reading is taken from Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labour or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendour was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow, is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Good morning, everyone. Let us pray as we come to God's word. Heavenly Father, as we think about these words spoken by Jesus, we pray that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to respond rightly. Amen. But who could have imagined what the past 18 months would have been like? I don't know exactly what you've been through, but I would imagine that whatever the pandemic and lockdown has looked like for you, that worrying might have felt like a reasonable thing to do. Worry about your health, worry about other people's health, and if not worry about health, then worry about the state of the supermarkets. When you get there, will they have the food that you want? I can still remember those early days of the pandemic. Every time we went into a shop, we'd always wonder whether they had any pasta. Because pasta is one of the few things that Zachary, our son, will eat. If we don't have pasta, then we're down to chocolate and blueberries. Who would have thought that we'd be in that situation? Of course, it isn't over. COVID-19 is still here. People are still getting sick. People are still dying. And we're now seeing history repeat itself. Not with pasta and loo roll, but with petrol and diesel. And there's already the rumours of shortages of food for Christmas. Perhaps turkey will not be on the menu this year. You could say that we're living in worrying times. And yet in this passage, Jesus tells us not to worry. He tells us that we do not need to worry about our lives. In a time when death feels more real than ever, Jesus said, don't worry about your life. At a time when the instant availability of food is being put in jeopardy, Jesus said, do not worry about what you will eat or drink. At a time when our bodies feel so frail, Jesus says, do not worry about your body and what you will wear. How can Jesus say this? Does he not understand the situation that we're in? Well, of course he does. He is the Lord over this whole earth, and he's Lord over all of time. He knows everything about the situation we're in. God has been sitting on his throne for eternity. He's seen viruses and plagues and famines and wars, he's seen them all coming ago. He knows exactly the situation we face, and yet he says, do not worry. Why should we not worry? Well, Jesus gives us a number of reasons. Firstly, he tells us that God knows what we need. Verses 31 and 32. So do not worry, saying, what should we eat, or what should we drink, or what should we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. God knows our needs. He knows that we need food and drink to live. He knows how fragile we are, and that without these things we would die. In the same way, God knows exactly what we need at this time. He knows even better than we do. So when we need vaccines, God knows that. If we need ways to keep in touch with each other, God knows that. If we need food, God knows that. If we need petrol, God knows that. But we don't need to worry about those things or panic about them. Jesus says that this is what pagans will do. They will run after them. How true this is, how much we've seen this over the past year. And then again in these last few days. It is sad when people act like this, but it shouldn't surprise us when we see people panic buying. This is what people do. They run after these things. Well, it's been abundantly clear in the bad times, but it's true in the good times as well. People can live for and be obsessed by the things they want, whether that be food or drink or clothes or technology or cars or whatever it is. People run after those things. They put their all into getting those things. But we don't need to have that attitude, because secondly, God provides for what we need. God provides for what we need. And Jesus gives us these two wonderful illustrations. Firstly, he said, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet they still have food, because their heavenly Father feeds them. He provides the food that they need. And here's the thing. If God does that for them, how much more will he do it for us? Because how much more valuable are we to God? If God looks after the birds in this way, then how much more is he going to look after those who are made in his image? How much more is he going to look after those who he calls children? Those who he loves? Secondly, Jesus says, look at the leaves in the field. Look how they grow. Look how beautiful they are. And they look like that without having to labour or spin. They did not have to produce the designs. They didn't get the shirt sewing machine out. They're more beautiful than King Solomon was in all his splendour. Yes, King Solomon looked good, but these lilies look better. Even with the best fashion designers in the world, he couldn't look as good as them. And if God does that for something that lasts such little time, for something that's thrown into the fire, then how much more will he provide for us, who he loves and cares for? God will give us what we need. Now, this doesn't mean we sit back and let those things fall into our lap. That isn't what Jesus is saying. The birds don't just sit there with their beaks open, waiting for God to drop the food in. That's not what happens. The birds have to work for their food. They have to go out and find it. Jesus' point is that the food is there. God has provided it for them. And it is the same for us. We still have to work. We still have to go to the shop. But Jesus is saying that these things are in God's hands. So we don't have to worry about them or be obsessed with them. God can provide in a whole host of ways. That is what we remember at harvest time, isn't it? Sometimes it happens very directly. We plant the seeds, the crops grow, and then at the right time we harvest. That all comes from God. The seeds, the ground, the weather, the growth. We rely on God for all those things. This summer we attempted to grow pumpkins in our garden. We didn't really know what we were doing. So it was a bit of a surprise when the vine started growing and taking over the whole garden. And the pumpkins were not much to write home about. They were really small and I'm pretty sure they wouldn't have tasted very nice. But they were pumpkins and they grew without a whole lot of help from us. For many, God provides in this very direct way. For others, maybe it's like more indirect. We have jobs in which we earn money and we go and use that money in the supermarket to buy the food. But this is still God providing for us. The money would be pretty useless if we got to the shops and there was no food there. And even the jobs we have and the skills and the gifts that we have come from God's hand. For others, perhaps places that face famine or for those who are out of work, God will provide for them through the kindness and generosity of others. I mentioned at the start that we had trouble getting hold of pasta when the pandemic first hit. But we never actually ran out of pasta. And part of the reason for that was the kindness of our church family. When people heard about our struggle, we became inundated with people dropping off pasta for us. More than we could eat. As a church family, that is what we're called to do. We need to be looking out for each other and providing for those who are in need. God knows what we need. And one way or another, He will provide it. Perhaps you're still unsure though, what if for some reason God doesn't provide? Well, two things. Firstly, verse 27. Who of you by worry can add a single hour to his life? Do not worry, because worrying does you no good. It doesn't improve your situation at all. You could lie awake all night worrying, and you will be no better off in the morning. In fact, you'll be worse off because you'll be tired as well. So even when things are looking bad, worry is not the answer. But more importantly than that, the second half of verse 25, is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? God knows that we need food and clothes. He knows that without these things we will die. But life is more than that. However important food and clothes are to you, they are not the be-all and end-all. Even for the biggest foodie or fashionista, there's more to life than just those things. God knows what we need. He knows we need food and drink and clothes. But He knows there's something that we need even more than the physical bread that we have. He knows that we need spiritual bread as well. The bread of life, Jesus Christ. If we're trusting in Jesus, then our lives are safe. Because even when we don't have the things we need in this temporary life, we know that we have all that we need for eternal life. Jesus is teaching his followers that they don't need to worry. The reason for this is because God knows what we need, and He provides for what we need. Now, this is not an absolute promise that no Christian will ever starve. There are Christians at different times and in different places that have unfortunately starved to death, or who will have not had the clothing or shelter they need to protect them from the elements. Unfortunately, those things do happen in this broken world. But it is a promise that God knows. He knows what we need to have life. If God wants us to live in this world, then He will give us what we need. But for those who do die, which is actually all of us eventually, for one reason or another, then God knows what we need in death as well. He knows what we need for eternal life. He has provided the food and clothes that we need for eternal life in the Lord Jesus. Peter says that this is the thing we should really be seeking. Verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus said, do not run after those things or worry about food and drink and clothes. Instead, turn your mind to God's kingdom. Life with God in heaven that lasts forever. A kingdom where there is peace and not war. A kingdom where there is peace and not famine. A kingdom where there is health and not sickness. A kingdom where there is life and not death. Jesus says, this is what we should seek after. His kingdom and his righteousness. Well, there's so much we could say about God's kingdom and righteousness and what it means for us. But I want to mention just three things that I think are relevant to us today. The first and most important is that our focus should be on God's kingdom and not on earthly things. This means that we put our time and effort and energy and thoughts and talents into God's kingdom rather than earthly things. And rather than worrying and panicking about things, we come to our Heavenly Father and we pray about what's going on. Rather than chasing after the things of this world, we spend time in His Word. Rather than filling our head with things that we need, we think about what we have in Christ. Now, don't hear me wrong, I'm not saying that we just give up on this life. No, we do need to eat and drink. We still need to work. We still need to clothe ourselves. But we do those things knowing that they're in God's hands. And therefore, we put them in their rightful place. Secondly, because we know things are in God's hands, and because we can trust Him, we are able to be generous with the things that we have. We don't need to amass more and more and more. We don't need to hoard. We don't need to panic about it. Rather, we can give away what we have. Lots of times we can do this in the abundance that we have. We can give away food and money and clothes or whatever without it even affecting us very much. At other times we'll give away what we have and it will be costly to us. We will feel it. It will be sacrifices. But we can even do that because we trust that God is in charge. That even when we might not have everything we possibly want, we know we have what we need. We can be generous in our giving because we know that God gives to us first. One way to give is to St. Peter's Church. By giving to church, you're giving directly to gospel ministry and kingdom building. But today we've highlighted another way for you to give as well. Maybe you can give to those in Burkina Faso through the Tier Fund Appeal we heard about earlier. If you've not considered your giving for a while, why not consider those two things? Regular giving to St. Peter's and a one-off gift to the Tier Fund Harvest Appeal. Thirdly, we can seek God's kingdom and righteousness by telling others about God's kingdom and inviting them to join as well. A little later in Matthew's Gospel, we read this. If you have your Bible, why not just turn forward a few pages to Matthew 9, verse 35. It says this, Matthew 9, starting at verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news to the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into this harvest field. At harvest time, we must remember this harvest as well. There's a world out there who are lost and broken, like sheep without a shepherd, and they need to hear the good word, the good news of Jesus and his kingdom. And the image that Jesus paints is they're just waiting to hear, just waiting to be harvested. We need to pray for people to do that harvesting, for people to be taking the gospel out and sharing it with others. And of course, if we're praying for that, we can't help but be part of the answer to that prayer. We can't be praying for people to take the gospel out without thinking how we can be sharing the gospel. Now, I realise that for some that will come more naturally than others, but we can all be doing something. We all know somebody we could invite to church, or give a Christian book to, or have a conversation with. Well, Jesus finishes by giving us one final reason why we should not worry. And while the first two were theological, this last one is much more practical. Verse 34 says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus says that worrying about tomorrow is a silly thing to do, because we're worrying about things that we do not know about. Much better to wait and see what tomorrow brings. Why spend time and energy worrying about tomorrow when we should be putting those things into today? Jesus says that each day has enough trouble of its own. How true that is. Why worry about what might be when we should be dealing with what is? Whatever way you look at it, worrying is a silly thing to do. When the world feels like it's fallen apart, let them see the church, that Christians are strong. Not because we ourselves are strong, of course, but because we trust in our Heavenly Father and we look to his kingdom. And if we do look to his kingdom, then we can be sure that we're safe. And if God wants us to continue to live in this world, then he will give us what we need. And if he doesn't, then he will call us home to his kingdom. If you go about the busyness of life, why not take some time to look at the birds and to look at the flowers? And as you appreciate how amazing those things are, let them remind you how amazing God is and how he cares for us even more. Just to those things. Friends, do not worry, but seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that all things are in your hands, that even the food and drink and clothes we have come from you. Father, we pray that we would remember that truth as we look at the world around us, as we see the birds and the flowers. We pray that we would remember how you are at work, that we remember how much you love us and care for us, and therefore how much you will provide for us. Father, when we know those truths, we pray that would spur us on to live for you, that we will be people who trust you, that we will be people who can be generous with what we have, and that we will be people who want to bring others into your glorious kingdom as well. Amen.